sometimes we set really lofty goals that just aren't reasonable. You know, if like you said, if I'm an asshole, like I'm probably not gonna do a complete, you know, 180 and just become one of the most angelic people on the universe. Maybe I wanna start with, I don't respond in an aggressive way, or I pause before I respond, right? Like,
yeah,
what are the baby steps to get there? And that is really key. So yeah, set a goal, but also make sure it's a reasonable goal.
What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. I've got a really exciting guest today. Her name is Levita Johnson, also known as Dr. Brew Hughes, for her little side hobby there with the amazing beer page that she has on Instagram, which is actually how we met. But it turns out there is a much deeper level to Levita that, I'm blown away. I'm super excited to hear from her and what she does with her emotional intelligence career. It's pretty amazing. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about it, though, because she knows a lot more about it than I do. So I'm going to introduce you guys to Dr. Levita Johnson. How you doing, Levita?
Hey, Zach. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on. This is really awesome. And I'm so happy we got to connect kind of outside of social media and just really get to know each other. So I'm excited about chatting with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Can you start out a little bit, give a little synopsis of like what you do so everyone can kind of know what they're getting themselves into?
Yeah, definitely. So I am an emotional intelligence coach and consultant. And I think a lot of times people hear that and you may have heard of EQ, or sometimes it's known as EI. And it's literally just the opposite of an IQ. And it's really about how you are, how you interact with other people, your social awareness, your self-awareness. And really my job is to work with people. I work with families, couples, organizations on building their emotional intelligence. So really understanding who they are as people and then how they interact with others.
Awesome. Yeah, that's phenomenal. And so I'm actually a little nervous because before the episode, I actually took the test that Levita gives to her clients. So I took an emotional intelligence test. And so this is going to be the first time that anybody's ever given me any kind of insight into my actual like emotional intelligence level. So you guys are going to get to hear it right here on the episode. I'm not going to cut it or anything. You're going to hear it as it is. So it should be kind of fun. But typical into the dark blue fashion, I know you know Levita, we got to do a little toast.
Yeah.
All right, if you follow along with the dark blue and you have not tried Sheath underwear yet, what are you actually doing with your life? Get on www.sheathunderwear.com. Save yourself a lot of rubbing, a lot of chafing, and a little bit of money with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. You'll save yourself 25%, and a portion of your purchase also goes to help us build our network of men's groups at independent breweries all around the country. So let's make this happen, guys. Get on sheathunderwear.com. Into the Dark Blue has partnered with our favorite CBD shop, Alamo Botanicals, to give you guys easy access to your favorite CBD products. My personal favorite is the water-soluble CBD that you can drop in your water in the morning and head out the door. It'll help you with your focus and anxiety throughout the day and simply just help you get your job done a little bit easier. I also really enjoy the Moringa Skin Food. It's great to get rid of some of those blemishes and red spots on the skin and just really give you a nice, healthy the glow. So head over to alamobotanicals.com, save yourself 10% with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. A portion of that also goes to help us with our mission to create men's groups all around the country at independent breweries. So help us make that happen and help yourself be a little healthier as well. Head over to alamobotanicals.com. What are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I am drinking a Florida local by Three Sons Brewing, and I am having their Far From East. It is a double rice India pale ale, and it is 8.7 ABV.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be a good way to end your day.
No doubt.
So, and if you guys haven't seen Levita's page yet on Instagram, you got to go check it out. It's Dr. Brew Hughes, H-U-E-S, right?
Yep.
Dr. Brew Hughes. And she has a phenomenal beer page, craft beer page on Instagram that just, the photos are amazing. She has some really great stories to go with her beer and talk about why they're important to her, or what's going on in her life at the time while she's drinking the beer. And so it's a pretty cool insight into the mind of Levita and the beers that she likes. So definitely go check that out. I am drinking... This is actually the second beer I've had since Dry January ended. We did some exploration of the non-alcoholic beer scene during January for Into the Dark Blue, and also for myself too, just to kind of see what it was all about and start implementing more non-alcoholic beers into my routine. So I'm not overdoing it with, you know, having a beer every day or having three regular beers, and, you know, so I'm working in these non-alcoholic beers and they're actually really amazing. But tonight I'm having a roasted rye winter warmer IPA from Rubens Brews from up in Seattle.
Nice.
These guys are pretty solid and they make a pretty good beer. So let's crack them open.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers.
See, this is already really interesting because it's got this really caramely color.
Oh, so, it's beautiful.
Right? It's like this
beautiful,
kind of indicative of a rye.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how's yours looking? It's a little hazy.
It is. It's a little hazy. It's your typical looking IPA. I don't know much about rice IPAs, so it's kind of a new thing for me.
It's sake and hazy. Hops.
Yeah. 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 Definitely hazy.
Nice. Oh, we've got, this is really hop forward on the scent there. On the nose. Ooh, that's bitter.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is like hoppy, but it's also pretty sweet, which makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, when you talk about rice, like I do see rice as being sweet. And you think about it, rice can be used in desserts. And so this makes a lot of sense.
For, yeah. All the extra like carbs and starches involved there. Mm-hmm. That definitely makes sense. Yeah, this is very, very hop forward, super bitter. But it's not any of the hops I don't like. Usually there's like floral and kind of earthy hops. I'm not a huge fan, or the piney hops anyway. I'm just not a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. So thankfully this has none of that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of too much of that. Pine either, I think.
No. Yeah, this has a bit of a malty finish to it too, which is nice. It's got, so like with the rye on the back end and everything, I enjoy it. It's definitely something I'm gonna sip on. I'm not gonna drink it too fast though. So what's that pint glass you have there? It looks interesting.
Yeah, so I am actually drinking from one of my favorite pint glasses from 17% Drip. Like,
oh yes,
the Boondocks, like, yes. I don't know, man,
that's like, so awesome.
If people don't know 17% Drip, like, you're missing out on dope glassware
for sure. The Boondocks was a great show. Mm-hmm. It's been a little while since I saw it, but definitely solid.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, can you do me a huge favor and tell us a little bit more about you, kind of what your background is and what you do with your career now. I know you've got a lot of irons in the fire. And so, yeah, just tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'll start. Like, I live in South Florida now, but born and raised in North Carolina. Moved to South Florida in like 2007, I believe. And I have a background in education. So spent many, many years as a teacher and figured I wanted to do something a little bit more. It's kind of like that time in life when you feel like you've plateaued and you're trying to find something else to challenge you. And so I really just decided to go back to school. I have a master's in educational leadership, but it's always been an aspiration of mine to get my doctorate. So I decided to go back to school and, you know, just kind of take a leap of faith because, I mean, I have kids and it's like, you know, sometimes in life you feel like there's never the right time, but it'll always be never the right time if you don't go ahead and do it. So I went back to school for my doctorate and ended up getting my doctorate in transformational leadership with a focus on emotional intelligence and organizational culture and climate. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. So like that for me was a pretty pivotal moment, especially in my career. I was never quite sure what I wanted to do. I had been coaching for quite some time and had been certified in emotional intelligence, but kind of I'm like a research person. So I really just wanted to put some more tools in my backpack and was able to do that. And like, I don't know, as the universe would have it, really, I ended up working for a really awesome nonprofit and able to work with at-risk girls and lead the organization in that work. And it's really good stuff. It's really rewarding. And I think on top of that, not only do I get to impact, you know, the lives of young girls, but I also get to do what I do more so on my personal side, which is the coaching and consulting work and just really help individuals, you know?
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I, you know, the conversations that you and I have had so far have just been just really positive and empowering, and just being able to hear the things that you're doing. It's just really, honestly, it's impressive. Just that I always love meeting people who have a heart to change lives, and, you know, to kind of set your career path on that desire to really help people is something that I truly admire. So just really, really grateful to just that we cross paths in general. And pretty good stuff. And I'm really excited to hear a little bit more about how you kind of how your process works and all that. But tell us a little bit first about how craft beer works into your life. Like, what is that for you?
So my journey with craft beer has been pretty interesting. I definitely speak about this a little bit on my Instagram page, but how I came into it was really just like a few things. So as a woman, craft beer is something that women aren't typically seen in, you know, we drink it, but it's not something that we're dominant in. You don't see a lot of female brewers. You really don't see a lot of women drinking craft beer. Yeah. So for me, that was very new. And then if you pair that with just me being a Black woman, that is also rare. So seeing minorities in the craft beer space is also something that is not very common, although you do see a shift in beer culture.
Yep, definitely.
But it was very different. And so, I mean, I think like most people, for the most part, I was pretty typical in saying, man, beer tastes like pee, man. Like, I don't like beer, you know?
Yeah.
But I had a colleague at work say, you know, you're missing out. I don't think you've had the right thing. And so he encouraged me to like reach out to this local bottle shop, and they fixed me a six pack and said, hey, if you don't like something, bring back, we'll replace it till we find what you like. And so I took him up on the offer.
Awesome.
Didn't return a single thing. And I was like, wow, my mind was blown. And I have honestly never looked back. I find beer to be so intriguing and complicated yet simple. And it's, for me, it's really the flavor profiles and going through the entire experience and really activating all the senses, you know, and it's just, it's amazing. And sometimes it's hard to explain to people who aren't into it, you know, but it's mind blowing how.
Yeah. For me, it's literally a form of art. Like the experience, you know, you've got the label on the beer, you've got the like flavor profiles, the scents, all of that. Like it all just comes together in this, like you're saying, experience. Right. And then on top of that, there's the community that builds and creates around the pint glass, you know, I just think is so amazing. And it really is, like, to compare it to something, it's similar to going to an art gallery and looking at all the different pieces of art and the way they make you feel, or going to a concert and how music can make you feel. You know, if you get into it and you start to understand the beer and the way it's made, I think to the depth of it, it can really be a similar kind of experience.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great way to look at it.
So yeah, and I remember you saying it's kind of a hobby for you, and a really kind of a good way for you to end your day with something that makes you happy.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It totally is a hobby. And it is, it's such a just solid way to end the day. And really kind of how you explained it is just, it's an experience. It's something that is so enjoyable for me. And like you talked about, just being able to photograph the beer and everything, for me, it's just like, it's a great, great way to wrap up my day.
good kind of stress reliever. Take your mind off of all the other stuff, because it sounds like you deal with some pretty complicated things during your day. I know, you know, a lot of us, I think, are dealing with things that we're not used to dealing with. You know, with obviously with the past year, but there's also, it sounds like you have a level to your job that can be hard to compartmentalize after you get home. And so having something, I think, to separate from that and kind of take your mind away from it when you have your kids or you have things like that, I'm sure it's definitely something that's a positive thing in your life. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you mind getting into a little bit more about what you do during your day? Like how you use your education and the things that you do throughout your day?
Yeah, sure. So I'm struggling to say, I currently serve as a director over a nonprofit that works with At Promise. We don't like to use the word at risk. So At Promise girls, ages 11 through 17, who have experienced trauma in their lives. They may have been involved in the juvenile justice system. And our mission and our goal is really to empower them to use their voices and to advocate for themselves and to advocate for change in their communities, and to really build up some protective factors for them, because when they come to us, they have a lot of at-risk factors that are impeding, you know, their self-development. So we provide social services, meaning counseling, case management services, as well as academics for them throughout the day. And so my job really is to lead the team through that and really make sure that we're doing the best that we can within that. And so tying that into emotional intelligence is really all the things, because mental health and emotional intelligence go hand in hand. And I don't think that sometimes people really see that, but there is a very strong correlation and connection between, you know, being mentally well and having a strong emotional intelligence.
Yeah. And even I can imagine a strong emotional support system. Like if you struggle with mental health issues, if the people around you don't have a good mental or emotional intelligence, I can see how there would be added struggles to that.
Exactly. Yep.
So is that some of the work that you do with the families and organizations and such, kind of getting everybody on the same page to be more aware of that intelligence?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, you really made a great point that, you know, it's not just enough to really work with the girl. You really have to work with her surrounding community, which includes her family. It includes really any spaces that she goes in and out of. And so part of that is building up strong family units, making sure that the community is aware of, you know, the girl's needs, the family's needs. And that includes trainings, it includes workshops, it really includes just very individual meetings that are based on that family and that girl's specific needs.
Yeah, that's amazing. We talk a bit about that with Into the Dark Blue, just in terms of being aware of the people you surround yourself with and making sure that they're building you up, right? And they're helping you progress and move forward with your life rather than holding you back. I think learning how to understand and recognize those people who are holding you back is such an important skill to have, because without the ability to recognize that, how can we make those changes and get the right people in our lives, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, right. And that really ties back to, like, we'll dig into it a little bit more, I know, later, but it ties into self-awareness and social awareness, which is such a huge part of emotional intelligence. And so if you don't have those really key foundational components, it's really hard to navigate healthy relationships and boundaries and really understanding how your emotions work and how the emotions of other people work.
So let's get into this emotional intelligence thing. Can you give us just a bit of the foundation of what emotional intelligence is? Like, what are the factors that play into it?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, in a nutshell, emotional intelligence is really a person's ability to recognize their own emotions and how they impact their actions, as well as the emotions and of others, and how to navigate those emotions in addition to yours in order to build positive responses and relationships with others, in a nutshell. When you talk about emotional intelligence, though, it can get really complicated, but to keep it really simple, there are basically four key, what I like to call quadrants or competencies, basically. Okay. And that is, I did talk about it a little bit. So you want to look at yourself and others. That's all that it's about. When we talk about human interaction, and that's it. It's you and somebody else.
Awesome.
And at the end of the day, you have two options. Either it's going to be a positive interaction or it's going to be a negative interaction. And so emotional intelligence is all about really trying to go about having positive interactions. So there are two areas, which include awareness and management. So it's either going to be self-awareness or social awareness or other awareness. It depends on, you know, but the awareness of other people. And then when it comes to management, it's all about self-management and then relationship management. And that everything else falls within that.
Okay, cool. So with this test, right? I basically was blind. I answered a bunch of questions. I didn't know what they were for. I just went in there and answered the questions, hit submit, move forward with my life because I didn't want to focus on it too much. Yeah. And until I got, you know, the results from you. And so can you walk us through the test a little bit and what the purpose of the test is?
Yes, absolutely. So you're going to have your listeners, though, Zach, thinking that you took this like hardcore test. So I'm going to call it an assessment. It is an assessment. So if you're listening, it wasn't a test, it was an assessment. So the assessment was a social and emotional intelligence assessment, profile assessment, actually.
Yep.
And what it does is give the person a profile of their emotional intelligence quotient. And so you logged in, and one of the main things I believe I asked was just don't think about it. So I'm really happy that you took it. You didn't spend a lot of time laboring over the questions. You really just want to answer whatever comes to mind. And when it comes to assessments, you know, sometimes we get in our heads and we want to answer how we hope correctly. We are. Like, what's the right answer? And there isn't a right answer. Because when we take it that way, then you tend to, well, you're definitely going to skew the results, and then you don't really get the benefit out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So the profile assessment you took was the adult edition. So there are two. There's an adult edition and a workplace edition. And cool. So I always recommend if it's like a business leader or somebody who's really trying to get a good grasp of how they are in the workplace, or even just an employee who wants to know what's my behavior like in the workplace, and I'm going to recommend the workplace edition, but
nice.
At least the adult one, you can kind of translate into something else. But you know, you take the questions and you answer them. It's a series of really asking you, what are your behaviors like?
Responses to situations and things like that.
Exactly.
Yep. Cool. Yeah. And, you know, I remember doing things similar to that when I was applying for jobs when I was younger. You know, you'd get the application and it would ask you, you know, if you saw Susie stealing something, you know, what would you do? Like, yeah. So, you know, things like that. And I remember those types of assessments trying to get a job, but this was a little bit more intensive, a little bit more like, you know, I think digging in a little bit more, which was pretty cool, and a little less repetitive as well. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, and on the flip side of that is because I remember taking those too. And I wish when I did that though, like I got something from it. I wish that me answering those questions would give me something to work off of, some feedback.
Yeah, especially if you didn't get the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like if you get the job, it's like, all right, cool, I answered those questions well. But if you don't, yes, it's like, well, what did I do wrong? And, you know, how are they judging me? How are they scoring me?
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna let you look thirsty there, so I'm gonna let you take a sip. But yeah, so you know, the reason I'm excited about this is because this is something I think that a lot of people don't really get a lot of insight into. You know, we want to do the work and we're told that we need to do the work. And, you know, being on Instagram and like the men's mental health space and men's like growth space, you know, there's a lot of, oh, you need to change this to be better. You need to change that to be better. But there's not a lot of like, this is how you change it to be better. You know what I mean? And so that's one of the things that, you know, in the coming years with Into the Dark Blue, I want to focus on a lot is providing the tools for people to actually change, right? And not talking at them, not trying to do seminars and conferences where somebody's just talking at them, but actually having things they can do themselves to create the change, right?
Yeah.
And so I think getting a little insight into this emotional intelligence assessment is something that's a great way to start doing that.
Exactly. I mean, you said it. It's all about being able to have something that's tangible. You know, we can like listen to somebody talk to us all day, but then what are the tools that we need? You know, like having the insight. And one of the things I talked about is having self-awareness. Many of us don't have self-awareness. We don't even know where to start. So if you don't know who you are, it's pretty right. tough to do the work.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, little side note, I worked for Costco for a while when I was younger, when I was in my 20s. And there's something about the Costco parking lot, like people cross that border into the Costco parking lot and all self-awareness just goes out the window. Like no one else exists, only their objective. And they are focused on that until they complete their objective and leave the parking lot. Right. And so, yeah, it's kind of an interesting social experiment working there just to kind of see how people behave. Like when you know, do different things with them or like just different situations, scenarios and seeing how people interact with them. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, definitely, you know, self-awareness is something that I think is lacking pretty significantly in our society.
Absolutely. For sure. And I love that you brought up like just the Costco parking lot. Cause one of the things that I tell people is, you know, emotional intelligence isn't a professional thing. It's a personal thing. And it really doesn't matter where you are. You have to hold yourself to those same like standards and guidelines of emotional intelligence, no matter if you're in the workplace or you're in the Costco parking lot, you know, or you're taking out the trash and your neighbor is, you know, taking out their trash or you're pumping gas. Sure. Like, it's the same because people are people no matter what, doesn't matter the environment. And I think that's one of the hardest things for people to recognize or even really want to carry over. It's like you have to continue that same behavior no matter where you are.
Yep, absolutely. Completely agree. So let's get into it a little bit. I'm curious, how did I do?
Well, I will tell you, Zach, you're a really awesome human being. And I knew that from our, you know, conversation that we had, outside of this, and you taking this assessment, you know, I'll share that your emotional intelligence profile came back as being strong, and that is really awesome. You know, me being able to take a look at your results, for me, really resonated with a lot of the conversations that we've had. You know, it shows that you are able to manage your emotions, that you understand what it means to interact with other people who may have emotions that differ from yours in the moment, and being able to pivot and adjust your responses, your actions to create an exchange that comes out as positive. Because like I said, you only have two choices in an exchange. It's either going to be positive or negative. Yep. And really what that shows is that you're able to work with others. You do have a really strong sense of self-awareness, and you know what it takes to interact with others, even if they have differing opinions or differing experiences.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. That's good to know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things, I think, you know, there can be a lot of self-consciousness surrounding those kinds of things, you know, especially for people who are trying to grow, they're trying to be better. You know, once you start to recognize the things that you need to work on, it can be easy, I think, to be self-conscious surrounding those things and having conversations with people and wondering, oh, did I fuck that up? You know, did I say the wrong thing? Did I, you know, whatever, coming out of it, not really knowing, because you don't really get often feedback from the person that you've interacted with, except for either they stop talking to you or, you know, they call you the next day to hang out. This, I think that's, you know, it's really definitely a good thing to have. And you guys listening, if you have the ability to, you know, find somebody who can do this for you, then I definitely recommend it, just to, if nothing else, give yourself a bit more awareness about your interactions. So even if you do have potentially a low emotional intelligence or weak or whatever, however that comes back on the assessment, it can give you the insight you need to really start making those adjustments.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I recommend it for anyone. Like you said, it's really great insight. And I think sometimes people are nervous, you know, like how is it going to come out? And at the end of the day, even if it comes out as weak or vulnerable, that's a growing point. That's where you start. And it's all about starting where you are. The great thing about these assessments is that whether you work with a coach like me or not, it's going to give you some tangible tools, like you talked about, like, hey, here are some resources. Here's what this means for you. Here's where you start. Here are some things that you can look into. And, you know, you mentioned feedback, and it's like, no, people don't typically give us feedback outside of their responses, like you mentioned, but it's also okay to ask for feedback and say, hey, yep, I'm working on this. Can you just let me know how this interaction made you feel, or what was your perception of this?
Yeah, definitely. That's really great. And having relationships with people where you can be open with them in that way, I think is also really important. And that shows a lot of self-awareness in and of itself to ask somebody, hey, yeah, what worked here? What didn't work? So, I mean, that's a great step in the right direction to begin with, is having the willingness to ask that question.
Yeah.
That's a really great idea. I like that. And, you know, one thing I wonder about too, and if you can maybe talk on this a little bit, you talked a little bit about crossing over, like your emotional intelligence crossing over from the workplace to the Costco parking lot, right? And so what would you say are some other areas of life that we may do things differently in terms of emotional intelligence, and how can we learn to cross over? Like if we have a high emotional intelligence at work, but not maybe in our relationship with our, you know, significant other or something, how can we start to kind of blend those more and recognize what we can transfer over?
Yeah, that is such a great question. And a lot of times we don't. That's really the work that many of us have to do, is that most of the time we don't carry it over. And that goes back to identities that we build and how we see ourselves. So most of us, when we go to work, we have an identity that is very rooted in our jobs and our roles and our responsibilities. And when we're at home, they're deeply rooted in the roles and responsibilities that we have when we're there. And the relationships are different. So when most of us, when we're in a professional setting, we understand that there are norms and there are rules and of engagement, basically, of how we interact with others. Now, there are some of us that struggle in both areas, and that also makes a lot of sense. A lot of times when we're at home or we're with our loved ones, we feel a sense of comfort and we almost take for granted that we don't need to have that high level of emotional intelligence because it's a person that we know, we feel comfortable with. They know, kind of like our demons, honestly, and they're with us because they know our demons. And
yeah, right.
Yeah, like we almost use it as an excuse to not have that higher functioning emotional intelligence.
Yeah, and I think it can be easy to come home from work like in a bad mood or something and not realize we're taking it out on the person, you know, people that we love, because they're just like, oh, well, they love me, so I can be how I need to be, you know, when in reality, if you're coming home multiple days a week that way and treating them, you know, and taking your bad day at work out on your loved one, the toll that it's taking on them without knowing it.
Exactly. And that, Zach, is where that other or social awareness comes into play. As humans, we're very self-centered. It's a very much like a me, mentality, that because we're humans and that's how we're born. And that's typically how we navigate through life. And it's normal. Like, there's really nothing to be, you know, ashamed of that we're self-centered like that. However, when you're trying to cross over, especially when you're talking about in your personal life, that's where the social awareness really does come into play. What do I know, let's just say, about my partner? You know, when they respond in a certain way, if they shut down, then I need to recognize that that means that there's something that I did or that I said that, you know, isn't working. And that's challenging, but that's really where a lot of relationships fail, because we aren't bringing in that emotional intelligence component of it. And similarly, this is a tough one, I think, a lot of times for adults, is that to recognize and accept that kids in the home also deserve the adult to be emotionally intelligent. And that's a tough one, I think, for a lot of adults.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think there is sometimes still this almost like, one, we think maybe kids don't have that formed yet, you know, like, they're just kids. Like they'll be, you know, they'll get there, they'll figure it out. And so it's almost, and there's almost this like, children should be seen and not heard kind of vibe still in our culture that sticks around from, you know, centuries ago even. And it's something, yeah, you're very right. Like, I think kids get ignored pretty often in that aspect and how things in the home are affecting them.
Yeah, totally. You know, cause it's just about, it's about emotions and everybody's allowed to feel, and just whether it's an adult or a child, just really helping them understand how to, manage those emotions, is important, because ultimately what's going to happen is that kid. And I think some of us, if we reflect back on our childhoods, can see how that did play a role or part in who we are today and how capable we are in managing our emotions or even accepting or recognizing other people's emotions.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what would you say then are some maybe activities or some, I'm trying to think of the word, oh my gosh, but maybe some practices that people can adopt to one, start building their emotional intelligence a bit and working on that, and two, learning how to bridge the gaps between different aspects of life.
That's a pretty loaded question. It's a pretty loaded question. For sure. I definitely think, you know, obviously if you don't have the means or a way to take an assessment, like similar to what you took, then it is really important to first have a conversation with yourself and say, you know, if this is an area that I really want to see myself grow in, then I, one, have to be vulnerable. I have to be open and receptive to feedback. And then to go ahead and identify the people in your life that can give you some constructive feedback. That's the first step. I mean, you have to start having conversations with people to understand how they receive you and how they see you.
And I could be wrong here, but also accepting that some people might call you an asshole in the process.
Seriously. Yes. Even if you don't think you're an asshole, it is, if somebody calls you one, you probably are in some way. And it's about perception. And I think that's so hard for us sometimes. Like, you're like, I'm not that way. That's not me. Well, it may not be your intention, right? But it's how people perceive you. And I'm sure you've heard perception is reality. It is someone's reality.
Yep.
True. It really is. And so, like, you take the feedback and you grow with it. I mean, for me, even as an organizational leader, I get feedback and sometimes I don't want to hear it. It's like, no, are you kidding me? But I have to take it and say, but that's their experience of me. So how do I change that? So really, that's one of the first things that anyone really wants to do, is to be open to feedback, receiving that. And then I always tell people, take that and then make some actionable steps. Like, pinpoint, what is it that I want to work on, or I need to work on? Because sometimes we don't want to, but we need to work on those things. And then identifying those things is super important, and having someone to hold you accountable, because this is hard work. So you need to have someone that is basically going to be like an accountability partner for you.
Nice. Yeah. This is definitely work that we can't do alone. You know, like, just to have somebody to check in with and be able to, like, have that outside perspective. Like, am I actually making progress? That's really good. And what would you say about, like, goal setting too? Do you think goal setting in terms of, like, where you want to get to is a good way to kind of start getting there?
Absolutely. Goal setting is key. You have to set goals. And within that, though, are identifying, like I said, those actionable steps, and make it reasonable. Sometimes we set really lofty goals that just aren't reasonable. You know, if, like you said, if I'm an asshole, like, I'm probably not going to do a complete, you know, 180 and just become one of the most angelic people on the universe. Maybe I want to start with, I don't respond in an aggressive way, or I pause before I respond, right? Like, what are the baby steps to get there? And that is really key. So set a goal, but also make sure it's a reasonable goal, and have some action steps there.
Cool. Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah, that's cool, guys. This is seriously some really good advice, some really good options. You know, and no matter where you are, no matter who you are, you definitely have some work you can do. Even though my assessment came back strong, I know I have some work I can do in certain areas. And, you know, bridging those gaps, and where I might be extremely emotionally intelligent in business and with friends, maybe I need to look at my you know, romantic relationships and how I respond in my romantic relationships, or vice versa. You know, like, how am I responding at work? Like, am I being a dick at work to the people around me? And, you know, or if I'm not aware of those things, then, you know, where's the progress, right?
Exactly.
So if you guys need to write this down, take some notes, go back and listen again to some of these options, definitely do that. And start acknowledging the steps that you can take to being more emotionally intelligent. This is really good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah.
So before we go, can you give us an anecdote from your work? Like, kind of a fun, do you have something funny that you can think of that has happened in your work that relates to this?
Oh man, funny. I don't know, Zach. Like, I don't think any of this work is ever funny.
Kids are hilarious, man. Come on, kids are so funny.
I mean, yeah, they are. You know, I think they are funny. So probably one of the funniest things, and I don't know if people would find it funny, and you might not even get it if you don't work with like youth, but if you work with especially teenagers, they think you're old. I mean, they just do. It's like, yeah. If you're not their age, if you're not between the ages of 11 and 17, then you're old. Yeah. Basically. True. But you know, I pride myself in trying to be like the cool older person. So, you know, basically, kids love to dance, you know? And so it's like, oh, they want to be up on the latest, you know, dance craze or whatever. So, yeah. we try to keep it pretty trendy, at the center. So we're always playing, music that the girls can relate to. But, you know, at the end of the day, I had a girl say, you know, they say miss, they call you miss or mister. So, miss, like, I know you don't know this. You're not cool like that. You don't know this. And so I always like to throw it back. And really, I do. I use emotional intelligence. I say, so you're making an assumption about me. Why are you making the assumption? You know? And so they're like, well, you dress like this. And they think I'm older than I am, but whatever. So you're like, whatever, 50 something. And I'm like, okay.
You're a little off there, but.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, a little bit. But I'll say, well, that's like me assuming that, you know, because you're young, that you don't know something. So we always just bring it back to emotional intelligence. But the fun part for me, because I do pride myself in staying current, is I can usually do a TikTok dance or whatever. And it like blows their mind every single time. They're like,
yeah,
what are you up like all night studying TikTok? And I'm like, yes, yes, I am.
Actually, I am.
Just to prove to you. Yes, yes,
I am. Just so I can do my job.
Exactly. Just so I can do my job. Exactly.
That's so funny. Yeah. Definitely. I definitely have had those moments as a youth minister, like, you know, kids that are just like, oh, you don't know about this, you don't know about that. And then you like start having those conversations and they're just like, oh my gosh, how do you know these things? And yeah. So, and then, yeah, but the thing I won't do, or I haven't done in the past, is like keep up with the like lingo, the current lingo and the like slang and stuff. Cause like, I just don't care. So I actually enjoy having them teach me that stuff. So like, that's a lot of fun. Cause then they kind of get into that and just like telling you what things mean and everything. So.
Yes, absolutely. I like being taught that too. Although I do try to stay. The team members try to stay up on that because sometimes you got to know the code word. So.
Oh, I'm sure in the work you do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You got to know what they're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sounds like it could get pretty dicey.
I'm always open to learn.
Yeah. Nice. It's last call. And that means this is your opportunity to give any final thoughts, tell people where they can find you if you're taking clients or things like that, how they can find you and how they can get started in learning about emotional intelligence.
Awesome. Well, you know, I think definitely if I leave your listeners with one final thought, it's that there's always a message in the mess. Like I think sometimes we go through a lot of mess in our lives, but if we can sit quiet and process what's happening and look for opportunities in it, there's always a message to be found. And that really starts with us. And that's something that I encourage people to hold true to. And that's where you find the light is in the message. And so, you know, if anybody wants to know more about emotional intelligence, I'm not always accepting clients. I am, especially right now. Because I know that this is an interesting time for all of us. So I am accepting new clients and I would love to talk to anybody that wants to know more about emotional intelligence and what it means. And I can definitely be reached either on my website at www.defaulttohappy.com and on social media at defaulttohappy. And also, if you are a beer drinker, because I think that's probably why you're listening to this podcast, like Zach said.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. You can also find me at Dr. Brew Hughes on Instagram.
Awesome. Sounds good. Yeah. And you'd be pretty surprised. We have about 45% of our listeners are female who are not beer drinkers. Yeah. So they just want the information. It's cool stuff.
I love that.
So, but man, Levita, I really appreciate you joining me tonight. It's been a really great conversation. And as I said, just really grateful to have crossed paths with you, through the beer community. You know, this is what I love about craft beer is it connects so many people, just that maybe wouldn't meet otherwise.
I appreciate you having me, and I'm going to hold you to coming to South Florida. So you got to make it.
Hey,
soon.
You know it. I'm going to add it to my itinerary for the summer tour. So
awesome.
You know, cross your fingers for COVID to allow me to get on the road. Yes. And I'll see you in a few months.
Awesome.
So, all right. Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers.
I want to thank you for venturing into the dark blue with us today, where we're always striving to foster a community of peers which empowers mental wellness, positive growth, and social awareness. If you like what we're doing and would like to support our community, you can purchase a pint glass or t-shirt from Sheath Underwear via the link on our merch tab at www.intothedarkblue.com, or message us to make a one-time donation. All proceeds go to men's mental wellness initiatives. If you ever need a listening ear, feel free to message us on the website or at @into_the_dark_blue on Instagram. If you have an emergency or need help from a professional therapist, we offer several resources on our Get Help page. Last but not least, know your limits and drink smart. Cheers.